Ah, welcome to Movie Magic.
We would be honored if you would join us.
5, 6, 8.
5, 1,000, 4, 1,000, 3, 1,000.
I am the father.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Are you one of those single-tier people?
All the dogs in King's Landing howl through the night.
They cry out for their true queen.
I'm Batman.
Name's Bond. James Bond.
One of them leads to the castle at the center of the labyrinth, and the other one leads to certain death.
Go ahead. Make my day.
He sounds like quite a man.
A passenger has died on the train.
Who gave the order to kill me?
Movie Magic with Colin Gomez, Money FM, 89.3.
Commence primary ignition.
So Artemis Fowl is finally released and made its debut on Disney Plus. The trailer of this movie was done about a year and a half ago. Now, the trailer was kind of cool. It had a Chinese lady in it wearing a flowy costume and she's flying in midair, you know, like a dolphin that leaps out of the water to ring a bell suspended in midair. But you know what? I don't remember watching this scene at all in the movie. It was in the trailer, but not in the movie. Did Disney cut it out, or did they just shoot that scene just for the trailer? This movie is based on the series of books, but mostly based on the first book. And some people may dub this book series as Die Hard with Fairies. It's directed by Kenneth Branagh, a super talented actor, director, and producer. However, for this movie, well, let's put it this way. It's going to ruin his resume. This movie has been through many directors' hands as well as writers, and now it's on Disney Plus. The teaser trailer, like I mentioned a while ago, will make you want to watch the movie, but after watching it, I can say it's stunningly bad. Visual effects were good, and they spent a lot of money in making the movie, and I'll get to that amount a little later, but I just feel bad for the young boy who acted as Artemis Fowl Jr. Now, when you watch this movie, it looks like as if he forgets his lines in the movie while, you know, the movie's being filmed, and there's someone who's feeding him his lines. It has unnecessary pauses here and there. Maybe because this is his first time acting in a major movie and it could be the end of his career as well. Just like the boy who played Anakin Skywalker in Star Wars Episode 1. Colin Farrell, who plays Artemis Fowl Sr., saves the movie in the first few scenes. But that's it. His role is kind of small. Apparently, they filmed his entire role in 3 days. But I could be wrong. Anyway, in the movie, he's supposed to be, without his son's knowledge, a criminal mastermind. And he is kidnapped. And whoever kidnapped him wants a device that Artemis has that will give anyone who possesses it powers that is unimaginable. The butler, who's also the bodyguard and who is also trained in many martial arts, takes the young boy, the young Artemis, to the secret basement in the mansion where rare things are stored so that they can look for this item and use it as a bargaining chip to get his father back. Now, in the book, the bodyguard is supposed to be a Eurasian, but the filmmakers changed the race and the role was played by black actor Nonzo Anozie. Moreover, he has bright blue contact lens that makes him look blind, but he's not. I think they thought that casting this actor would bring diversity to the cast. Anyway, there are many flaws in the movie, and one of the flaws is when Artemis, the boy, is in the basement with his bodyguard, looking for this artifact, and he opens up drawers in the basement to reveal a book, then make a chair, another drawer to make a chair, and then flipping another drawer upside down to reveal a reading light. Now, the flaw is, if this boy hasn't seen this basement before, how did he know, you know, which drawers to turn into a chair, into a light, and know where the book was tucked away? Now, I mean, it looked cool, but it just made no sense. There's also a character named Julius Root, and in the book, it is described as a cigar-smoking, humorless elf who hasn't laughed out loud in 200 years. But in the movie, Root is played by Judi Dench. Why the gender change? And Judi Dench plays a grumpy old lady who's in charge of the fairies. I can't help visualizing her as M in James Bond. Just a little grumpier. Visually, like I said, this movie is stunning, but I think it's trying to be everything. It was trying to be Batman with the mansion, you know, the butler and the secret basement. It was trying to be James Bond with secret gadgets. It was trying to be Lord of the Rings with elves and giants and dwarves. Oh, by the way, there's a tall dwarf. Yes, you heard me right. A tall dwarf who narrates the film, which was irritating. And they made him look like Hagrid with a beard and long hair in Harry Potter. Yes, the movie was also trying to be like Harry Potter with, you know, the magic and all. It was also trying to be Iron Man with Tinkerbells flying around with helmets and computerized visors. It was trying to be Star Wars with all the spaceships. It was trying to be Blade Runner. It was trying to be too much of everything. And it made it a little confusing for me with a bad story. Maybe it was bad because the filmmakers condensed this movie into just 94 minutes, which is kind of impossible to tell the story based on the books in such a short time. But in hindsight, when a movie is this bad, 94 minutes seems too long. Disney, however, managed to make this movie into a wholesome father and son fable, though, which is what the books are not about. The budget of this movie was $125 million. And yes, movies do create hundreds and hundreds of jobs. So all I can say, it's money well wasted. Watch this movie if you have some time to waste. But it may appeal to little kids. So it also has that Spy Kids feel to it. Here's Peter Doyle with Father and Son, one of the tracks taken from the soundtrack, which is the only saving grace in the movie.
Movie Magic with Colin Gomez, Money FM 89.3.
Personally, I feel that it is still unsafe to be in the theaters right now because of the pandemic. So I have been watching all my movies and TV series at home through streaming channels like Apple TV, Amazon Prime, Disney Plus, and Netflix. In these troubled times, I turn to humor. You know what? Actually, I always turn to humor. And Steve Carell is reuniting with the makers of The Office in a sitcom titled Space Force. It's on Netflix. The humor is sometimes dry, but also makes Carell's character dumb, just like in The Office. Now, speaking of dumb humor, I also love watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine. It's a comedy cop show that is led by a black police chief who is gay, and he has some misfits working under him. The sergeant, for example, Terry, who refers himself as a third person, is played by the muscular Terry Crews, who's the host of America's Got Talent. The series also has Craig Robinson from The Office coming in every now and then. All the characters played in the series are hilarious, and they are vital to the series. One of my favorites is Gina, played by Chelsea Peretti. She's also the wife of comedian, actor, and director Jordan Peele. And my other fave is Detective Jake Peralta, played by Andy Samberg. Now, I like this character because of his sarcasm. In the series, he's a big fan of Die Hard, and he quotes lines from the movie. Now, if you're a fan of the series, and like me, you're probably hoping for Bruce Willis to make a cameo. Even Andy Samberg and Bruce Willis's own daughter are trying to get him on the series as a cameo. And I hope it happens. I really like the series, and is one of those series that I do not skip the intro to. Another intro that I will not skip on Netflix is the Canadian production Kim's Convenience. I'm sure you must have watched the sitcom about a Korean family running a convenience store in a street in Toronto. If you have visited Toronto, you might have come across this corner store without even knowing it. Now, I'll play you the trailer of the sitcom, and it features Mr. Kim as he slurps on his coffee, followed by a powerful award acceptance speech by Korean-Canadian actor Paul Sung-Hyung Lee at the Canadian Screen Awards.
I'm a Mr. Kim, and this is my store. I'm working very hard every day. My wife, Mrs. Kim, is working hard too, with a very happy family. What? One day my daughter Janet did take over store.
I'm not taking over the store.
What's wrong with the store? Okay, maybe not now, but...
I'm not taking over the store ever, okay?
And the Canadian Screen Award goes to...
Oh, whoops. Oh. Sorry. It's put together with tape. Paul Sung-Hyung Lee.
Best Lead Actor Comedy also went to Paul Sung-Hyung Lee at the Canadian Screen Awards in 2017.
Yeah, okay, one more time. I have to admit, this is probably one of my biggest fears realized because last year was so unexpected, and how do you top last year? Well, this is a good start. So, I have too many people to say thank you to, so I won't bore all of you guys at home by naming them out right now. Instead, I'll bore them individually as I meet them because they know who they are, and I love them very much. I need to say that representation matters. I think a show like Kim's Convenience is proof that representation matters because when communities and people see themselves reflected up on the screens, it is an inspiring and a very powerful moment for them because it means they've moved from the margins into the forefront, and it gives them a voice, and it gives them hope. And hope is a very empowering thing because it inspires people. And when you give people a voice, other people start listening. And when people start listening, things start to change. And we need change. We need to affect change. And there's this little button here. It means a lot. And better people than I can speak more to it than I will. But it's time for all of us to listen as well. I just want to say thank you to the Academy. Thank you to my Kim's family, my cast, my mom, my dad, my sister, my wife, Noah, Miles at home. You can start playing video games now. So, okay, see you.
What a wonderful speech, yeah? I'm Colin Gomez, and you're tuned to Movie Magic on Money FM 89.3. So these are some of the comedies my wife and I watch together while we're having supper at our home theater in the basement of our home. And once we're done dinner, it's time to watch our favorite TV series at the moment titled Money Heist. Or in Spanish, the title is La Casa de Papel, which means House of Paper. And I've raved about this series many times before on Movie Magic. And if you'd like to listen to past episodes of Movie Magic, all you have to do is log on to our podcast page on Money FM. And if you don't have our app yet, well, why don't you download the app? It's free. And you can take us wherever you go. And in that way, you can be ahead of the game. Now, back to Money Heist. Although sometimes my wife and I watch 2 to 3 episodes at a time, as the cliffhanger tempts us to, we restrict ourselves from binge-watching anything more. Because each episode is so well-written that I don't want it to end. Although it's in Spanish, there are English songs in the series. And in one episode that I just finished watching, had the Song of the Champions. Now, you must be wondering if it's We Are the Champions by Queen. Well, not quite. This song is about solidarity, and it's about assurance that we are here for each other. A great song when we are facing a pandemic like this. A great theme song for a soccer team like Liverpool to be crowned the champions of England. I'm Colin Gomez, and this has been Movie Magic on Money FM. And to all my friends that are Liverpool fans like Terry, Law, Kenny, Adrian, and many, many more, and to you who are listening in right now, remember, you'll never walk alone. Here's Jerry and the Pacemakers, a song that never fails to give me goosebumps.
When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of a storm, there's a golden sky and the sweet silver song of love. Walk on.